This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
It's time for our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois. Hello, Mike.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic is going to be a discussion on summer heat stress. And Bill, the heat's on, no question right now. We have lots of high temperatures around the United States, and we're just heading into the summer at this point. Our listeners should be aware of the forecast. And so when you start seeing these high temperatures and humidities, you should be aware your cows are going to have some real challenges. The magic number we use is the temperature heat index, which should be under 68. That's not reported on your news that night, but what you can do very simply as a thumb rule is take the degrees Fahrenheit, let's say 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and 60% humidity, which doesn't sound to be very hot, adds up to 140 points divided by 2, that would be 70. And so that means your cows will now be experiencing, and heifers will be experiencing heat stress. Another important factor, what does the temperature do at night? Certainly in the southwestern part of the United States, that's the real key. It cools off at night and leaves these cows and animals to recover for the next day as far as that goes. Another key point would be the housing basics. Number one, cows will seek shade even on pasture conditions. So if we provide shade, it takes the direct sunlight off these cows. Plenty of water available because water increases significantly due to heat stress. And of course, applying water and air to the cows will be a cooling effect, much like you'd see at a swimming pool when you jump out of the pool as far as that goes. And finally, a comfortable stall so cows will lie down to take some stress off their hooves and legs. Farmers should be monitoring respiratory rates. When you start getting more than 60 breaths per minute, these cows now are working hard to dissipate heat as well. There are some things we can do with the rations. Things that come to mind certainly would be to double-check what your dietary cation anion difference is going to be. And now we want a very positive number. We should be targeting something over a plus 300 milliequivalents per kilogram of dry matter consumed here. And if you can bump that up to 350, all the better. In fact, the University of Maryland said the sweet spot is very close to 400 as being the optimal number to be. And you'll do that primarily with a combination of sodium bicarb, potassium carbonates, and of course, these are buffers as well. Trying to get glucose to these cows will be a plus. Glucose is going to come primarily from propionic acid being produced in the rumen, and that's driven by carbohydrates as well. And, of course, monens and essential oils will also increase the propionate production as well. Glucose becomes a key nutrient. Stabilizing the rumen pH due to the change in blood flow to the exterior of the animal, and, of course, that drops the pH in the rumen as well. Feeding the highest quality forage is a plus, and that usually means corn silage. High quality forages will produce less heat increment due to digestion. And we can substitute fats and oils as an energy source here if we look at the need for more energy for them. The potential risks we have are lameness due to cows standing, reduced rumination time due to the respiratory rates, a lower milk production. We can see significant drops of 8 to 10 pounds is very common. We also see a shift in milk components. Milk fat may go down 0.2 of a point, protein go down, and rumen acidosis. Be well aware that both cows, if they're not cool, will drop 8 to 10 pounds of milk. Dry cows, once they cave in, they will also suffer a 4 to 8 pound drop increase. And the heifer calf inside that dry cow is also negatively impacted when she becomes a cow 2 years later. So, Bill, our take-home messages are that heat stress is a real concern on dairy farms, and we're at that time of the year at this point. We should be monitoring what those numbers are and what our strategy is going to be because we know all animals are affected on the farm. Well, that completes the program for today. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday on Dairy Radio Now.
Very small changes in beef production this year,
as higher carcass weights are almost entirely offset by reduced marketings.
Could lead to changes in 2025 for beef production, according to USDA World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski.
Current year pushing those placements and marketings into next year. So for 2025, we raised our beef production forecast by 250 million pounds.
Steer carcass weights are also expected to be high next year, which contributes to the higher production forecast. However,
year over year, beef supplies are going to tighten. For 2025, beef production overall is expected to be down about 1.2 billion pounds.
Steer prices are expected to remain strong, with price estimates up 50 cents per hundredweight for this year and up a quarter for 2025. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.